glad that I could make everybody angry at once.
You had one job.
That's literally not true. I both have no jobs and also have many jobs. At no point was I limited to one and only one job.
If that's true, then on average you had one job.
Per capita. Did you see the map of these countries per capita and it just says one?
No.
Yeah, the population by capita, one.
All right, we're going to start this. Greetings, Abercrombie, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Abercrombie Nothing podcast.
I think we should drink. With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
Dead.
No, I don't know what's wrong with me tonight either. It's definitely something. Salsa, do you have suggestions?
I would say pour that.
Yeah. Let's do that. Hold on. Let me get the microphone wet here.
What are we drinking, James? Just ignore her. She'll breathe eventually. Or she'll pass out.
Who
either way.
Fiona. We'll...
Oh, God. Oh, I hurt.
Oh. Good?
Yeah. Percent Fiano, a native grape of southern Italy, already loved and appreciated by the ancient Romans.
Jesus.
Okay. Maybe it's a zin?
Are red.
Zin is old Italian dialect for sea urchin, a much prized and delicious seafood that is often served as appetizer during the hot Apulian summer. It offers unique aromas of golden delicious apple, pear, and orange blossom, refreshing and dry. It is ideal with seafood crudo and light pastas. Dry white wine. 13%. No, I don't know.
God. Audience. You can just see Salsa. I just found
disappointed. Yeah, he hates this.
I'm not mad.
Yes, you are. Yes.
I'm not mad.
He's not mad. He's just...
I'm just depressed.
Yeah.
So happy.
Let's taste this thing.
Yeah, man. Well, oh, smells like wine.
God damn it. Fuck you.
We haven't had anything yet, is the best part.
Sober and so overworked.
My God.
Okay, let's do this.
No legs.
Yeah.
This has no fucking legs.
Walked into my
Lieutenant
office
Dan.
No legs at a time.
No, this wine.
All right.
Huh. Yeah. It's a little buttery.
It's got some butter, it's got some tart, but it's not...
It's apple juice.
No, I disagree with you on that. But it is... It's not my favorite. Am I going to drink it? Yes. Will I have more? Absolutely.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, but... not... Not.
The reason I brought this is that I have never had this. And
right.
Also because somebody at the store, when I was buying a few other things, mm-hmm. some scotches and whatnot, was buying a bottle and saw that I was checking on it. And he was like, have you ever tried this? I said, no. And he said, you should. This is my favorite.
Mm.
And I'm glad that it's his favorite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy
honestly,
for him.
I like it.
It is a... This is going to sound... There is no way I can say this without sounding condescending.
Please put your pinky up and or out.
This is a wine for non-wine drinkers.
Huh. Yeah?
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. No, that makes complete sense.
It is very sweet and, again, no legs whatsoever.
It feels like the sketch of a good wine... Without actually being what I would consider a good wine.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make it bad per se. It just makes it not a good wine.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
It kind of does, yeah.
It's sweet and fruity and probably would be great on a hot day with, like, this would make a fine spritzer.
Yeah. Yeah, it would.
Yep. But it has no depth. It has no...
It's a mix and whiskey, not a sip and whiskey.
Exactly. Well,
and honestly, I probably served it wrong because it's probably chilled.
Should have been chilled.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, it's white, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, served well chilled. Okay.
Yes, it should have been chilled. Yes,
should have been.
But even so, like.
I think this would go, like, really, really, really well with, like, a swordfish.
Like, it would be a fish wine if I did not have other fish wines that I prefer.
Yeah.
But you're not wrong that it would be a proper pairing.
Cool. If I may ask what you paid for it?
Not a ton. I think it was,
not
like,
surprised
$30.
There. Oh, that's more than I would have paid for this.
Sure. Yeah. It's probably more than I'll pay for it again.
You could definitely get a better wine for 12.
Yeah.
I mean, we've gotten...
Yeah. But again, if you are not one who seeks out a wine with depth and body and just want something to sip on a hot day on the patio, this'll do you.
Yeah. I would be happy with this out of the 6 for $6.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is kind of exactly what I always suspected those, like, 3-gallon glass jugs of, what is it, Marco Rossi? Martin Rossi?
Marco Rossi is a hockey player.
Okay. Yeah. the 3-gallon jug of that guy.
Yeah. Oh, that guy is more than 3 gallons. It's that's a 10-gallon man is what that is.
I guess it depends on how you pull. Wow. So, this is kind of exactly what my brain imagined for those wines that you know buy the gas tank. It's not bad.
I have certainly had worse. I will 100% say that. I will finish this glass.
Yeah.
That is...
I will probably have seconds because it's there.
Yeah, this is... I will not, spit this into a bucket and go get something else.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I will drink it. That's fine.
I definitely would not. Carlo Rossi.
It was bugging me.
But the driver, yes.
But it is not what I would put down as a favorite. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. No. My favorite is still red Zin. As opposed to white Zin.
A Zin?
Just a Zin. Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like the 7 Deadly Zins.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I imagine that's probably pretty good.
It is actually a very good brand. I highly recommend it.
There's the one that I brought that is emblazoned with a circus tent on the front, which ended up being really wildly good.
Yeah, that brand does good stuff, actually.
Yeah. I think I'd rather spend the $20 on that than the $30 on this.
Yes.
Yep, you are correct in your assessment. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad that we tried it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I will put this in my wine app as an okay wine.
Two stars. Might drink again.
Yeah. So, what you been up to?
Okay, so we did talk about Convergence last week. Convergence. I just feel like my life since then has been dealing with the aftermath of Convergence.
Yeah.
I still have party room in my front, in my living room area. Yeah. Like, I've still got things
party room in the front, business room in the back.
Actually, the business room is upstairs.
Party room in the front.
It's a tonsure.
Business upstairs.
That's a...
So, yeah. No, I mean, there's been... Like, a bunch of nerds sat on my pillows, so there's been taking care of the pillows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, going through things, figuring out the tea situation. I need to order so much more green tea for next year.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought I had really it, and I did not. We went through that real fast. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, reintegrating the various things back into my household.
Yeah.
Like my tea rack, like my kettle. Just, you know, all of that stuff. And I've still got more that I'm working on, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, but yeah,
I mean, you're not doing anything else right now.
I ended up last week working 46 hours.
Okay.
Which is...
Overtime?
Which is... No, that's... 46 hours is a decent amount of time. That's a little
super
bit
is.
Much for a week. I did that in 4 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I had Monday off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my first day back to work, I worked... Mm-hmm. Almost 15 hours. Yep.
Yeah.
Do not recommend.
No. Also do not recommend.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been work and putting things away and tinkering with my fringe script.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's
not a euphemism.
No, it is not. Mm-hmm. And then it was my daughter's birthday yesterday.
Whew.
She's now 26, which means she is, like, can't even be on my insurance adult. Uh-huh. Like, she can rent a car, she can't take my insurance. Just, there's so much to be had there, about, being 26. But, yeah, I had another story, and I completely forgot what it was. I just laughed so long and so hard.
Mm-hmm.
At nothing. There was no reason for me to be laughing that hard.
I don't know. I fumbled that, like, every ball that was passed to me for the first, I don't know, like 2-3 minutes? Yeah.
Yeah, but that's, like, expected. So.
Yeah, a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I remember having a story, and I don't remember what it is.
I'll come back to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you go. Maybe I'll catch up in the third quarter.
We got back from Con. And then I slept for the rest of the day because it was important.
Yeah.
And then when I looked outside, one, gross. Gross.
Oh, God, it's been gross out.
Two.
Can't wait for snow.
The 5 days that That's we were gone gross. Were incredibly hot and very slightly rainy, which was exactly the right combination to overwhelm our yard with weeds.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, they were bad before. They weren't, it wasn't good. It was like, you know, a little bit lower than hip height most places. It's as tall as I am in most places now. That's bad. So we're just gonna hire somebody.
Good.
Yeah.
Because
I honestly,
you're gonna kill yourself.
Do not know what to do. I think it would take the weed whacker away from me, so I'm not gonna risk it.
Yeah,
I don't.
That's fair.
I don't need that. So we're doing that.
Right.
Yeah, I brought Tiny Car to the car vet for a checkup.
Yeah,
everything's fine.
And get its shots.
Yeah, functionally
neutered and or spayed.
No, already.
Oh, all right.
It doesn't need to be making smaller cars.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know that it can. It's,
yeah.
It's already pretty much the smallest.
It's teeny. But
that's not that it should be insecure about its size.
Not at all.
It's a good size car. It's a
perfectly adequate car.
Yeah, it gets the job done.
Some people would say it's a good size.
It'll get you there. Yeah.
Yeah, it will get you.
Yeah.
Look, it's not the size of the car. It's how it handles.
Fury of its onslaught. I don't know.
That's me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, just like getting the house put together because we were having a family member come over to help us organize.
Sure.
And so there's... you probably have the same compulsion that I do, is that even if somebody is coming over to clean, what you really want to do is clean before they get there. Yep. So they don't know that your house was ever dirty.
I don't have people come over to help me clean.
Yeah.
I tell people they should come over at a certain day and time, mm-hmm. and then I get the place clean before that happens, and that's how they help me clean. But it's never come over and help me do a thing.
Mutual friend and friend of the podcast, Winter, has on many occasions shown up early in order to do things.
Right.
Which I very much appreciate. And but also... I'm distressed
by. How dare you?
Because he was in the kitchen. He was holding a bag of recycling and several of our dishes. And I was like, Winter, that's not what you're here for. And he goes, it literally is. I'm literally here to do this.
Yeah.
I came here early to help with this. And thank you. And also, I don't know how to handle that. So, somebody was coming over to help us. So we spent the last, 5 days tidying up, including a little bit over the weekend. I have been kind of having a moment of not hopelessness or listlessness, but... like
lethargy,
pointlessness.
Mm.
Yeah. Just off and on. Just not feeling great about stuff, and that's okay. I have therapists.
Yeah. Right.
It's great, plural, because sometimes that's important.
At one point, I had five.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they tackled all of your problems like hungry, hungry hippos. It's been very weird, and it might have something to do with the weather, with the shift in the weather, and it might be con drop, honestly.
Sure.
Now that that's done, I'm not in threat mode anymore.
Right.
Like under a gun.
What's that feel like, James? I wouldn't know.
Right. Yeah. So, but it has been very difficult, but I'm doing okay.
All right.
Like, yeah.
Is it one of those things where, like, you recognize what's happening and therefore because you recognize it, you know that it will eventually, or you can remind yourself or tell yourself it's going to pass and that things will eventually flip over.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, especially like with a feeling of like pointlessness, it's easy to find good reasons for doing the things that you are doing. Like experiencing that during doing the dishes, there's a very good reason to do the dishes.
Right.
And, like taking care of your household and your family, it's you have very good reasons to do that.
Right.
So in the short term, it's very easy to talk to yourself about it.
Right.
Today, one of the things that usually helps me out with that is helping people. And I had a couple of opportunities to do that, bringing gardening stuff over to my garden friend, running a couple of errands for the household, and then friend of the podcast is in the hospital. We have a friend of the podcast who's in the hospital, and I hope that they feel better soon. Mm-hmm. Nothing super serious, just but they wrote that they forgot to bring like a soft friend with them.
Aww.
And so I threatened them with an IKEA shark, with a blachage. And
yes,
As I often will. And so I brought my spirits up by bringing them a small plush torpedo.
Yeah. I get this entirely. Yeah. I do similar. Like, if I'm feeling down, sometimes I'll be like, okay, who can I help? Because I'm not helping myself right now.
Near.
So let's help somebody else. And then, yeah, that'll usually bring me back. Mm-hmm. Sorry to hear that unnamed friend of the podcast is not feeling well.
Yeah.
And I hope this person feels better soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah. But I am also super happy because I received a thing that I purchased quite a while ago today.
Oh.
I received today a thing that I purchased quite a while ago.
I see.
There. Yes. Mm. And that is a clear acrylic wall telephone that lights up.
Like 80s style?
Exactly.
Fuck
that.
Yes.
It is very literally.
Oh my God.
Like 35 years old. And Jax was looking at it and was like, I want to put stuff in this clear plastic. Like, I want to put toys
That's
and doodads and stuff. And I was like, you can. But also remember that plastic is older than
you.
Maybe older than you. Probably about the same age.
Right.
So we do want to be very careful with
it.
And they went, well, yeah, maybe the base. And I was like, yeah, the base has screws. Let's do that. Yeah. We're not flexing any tabs or anything doing that.
Right. Yeah.
So it might get full of little plastic ducks or something. Who knows? It could be anything. Yeah. Some Legos. Great.
Mm.
Yeah. But it lights up and I'm going to supply my household with phone service. I think I've talked a little bit about it, but the objective is to have a phone that people can call when they want to reach anybody who might be home.
Sure.
Yeah.
That does seem like the point of a phone.
It's
in
not a
house.
New technology.
Yeah.
It's also so that I can put my phone down.
Sure.
And not have it.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Actually, I get that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since I refuse to have my ringer on. Or get notifications while the work is happening, but I can absolutely see if Joe is like, hey, you want me to buy you lunch? Like, yeah, that's absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm. Get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
So, lots of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did remember some stuff.
Sure. What do you got?
So, I have been working on my French script, which makes it sound like, because French is what? 3 weeks away, 3.5 weeks, if we're being generous.
We aren't.
No. But, we're feeling the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it sound like I'm not done with my script. I have the script, but I'm working on just the refinement stuff, right?
Oh, you went the opposite way with this. I wouldn't have had a script started yet.
Yeah, we know.
That's.
Oh, God.
I would have been like, it's 3 weeks out.
Jax was describing something that their other partner does frequently, and I said, yes, and that is why autism is a spectrum.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, for me, well, and I feel extra weird about it. Like, if I had other people I had to direct in a show.
Oh, Jesus.
This would be a much different story.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But if a one-person show.
It's a one-person show, plus I'm not memorizing it because I don't have the ability to memorize anymore.
Yeah.
But I do need to have it ready for tech.
Yeah.
So there is an end point.
There is a deadline.
There is.
So you got a week and a half.
But
to start.
It's one of those things where actually a week because I want to get the script to my technician ahead of time so that they can look things over.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where I kind of mostly have it finished, but because I have the ability to keep tweaking it and refining it and trying to make it better. But I also have a deadline so I can only do all of my tweaking and refinement up until that point, which is so there's still pressure on it, though it's done.
Do
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not at all.
Fuck you.
Question,
Yeah.
I'm sincerely curious about this. Do you?
Yes.
Do you read it out loud mm-hmm. to yourself as if you are performing to an audience of your wall or mirror?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. What happens is, like, I just type, and I already know in Arial 12-point font with 1.118 spacing that a page of me writing a story out is about 3.5 minutes.
Wow.
So when I, because I've done a lot of storytelling and a lot of story writing, and I have this part down to a science. So I don't have to read it out loud while I'm working on it for the first while.
Sure.
Right? I know roughly how many pages I need. I know these things. So I will write out my drafts, and then I will read them out loud. And in reading it out loud, I can properly time it, which is almost always exactly what I've already estimated. I'm real fucking good in estimates. God, I should do forecasting.
Quick, what's tomorrow's weather?
It's going to be a heat index of 102 and 67% humidity. But I only know this because I was talking about it earlier today.
That's just gross.
It's going to be disgusting. Yeah.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, you asked.
It's going to be 68 in Scotland.
So anyway, but, yeah, so I do read it out loud and then find places for adjustments and tweaks that way.
Yeah.
But then when I'll do it in chunks and then I'll start to read through everything and I'll be like, oh, that didn't make sense because I cut this part over here to fit this thing in. So now I need to throw that over there. So, like, it is kind of a write it in chunks, but know how many pages, then read out loud to make sure that the flow of the words is correct for the chunks, but then try to read it. It's a huge thing.
Yeah.
But yes, do I read it out loud? Also.
Yeah.
Yes. Not only, but also.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I have now coached several Ville amateurs.
Sure.
And one of the things that I am repeatedly surprised by is that a lot of people, they don't. Or they just haven't. And some people never need to.
Mm.
And...
But, like, for insults?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, or just for anything.
Because, like, insults, I kind of... I would still do it out loud because delivery counts, right?
It does.
There are things to be done with that. But,
and
like...
getting used to saying a particular set of syllables in a particular order.
Right.
Yeah.
But also, you need to have those memorized. That's why I don't do Ville anymore.
Yeah.
Because I can't.
Yeah.
So there is a difference in writing a story out that will be read out loud versus memorizing a story to say out loud.
Yeah. Also,
I mean, just like any piece of theater, you need to practice it.
Absolutely.
Ooh. Like, you're not going to put together a Shakespeare show and never say it out loud.
Very true.
Like, that's just not a thing.
No.
So why would you do it for any other theater medium?
Right.
Some people apparently have a chess game in their head. And that's...
I
personally don't work that way, but I know that some do.
I'm going to say 90% of people don't and shouldn't. I'm going to say that... your experience specifically working with Villifiers as their coach may be a bit skewed.
Also very true.
Because there are people coming into this that might not have the experience of, I need to do this.
Also very true.
That's a good catch. So, that's a good catch.
Yeah, I think that might be skewing.
They are by definition learning.
Exactly.
Yeah, entirely true. Yeah.
So I think that might be a part of it. Yeah. I think the vast majority of people know that they need to practice.
Well, I think some people... practice internally is
until you say it out loud and hear the cadence of voice of sound through air.
And for me,
and
it
I'm
going
to say internal practice isn't a thing. I'm going to say that is, you can, it's envisioning.
Yeah.
But I would not call it practice. I do think envisioning can be an important step.
Yeah.
But it is not practice.
Yeah.
Practice uses the muscles.
I think that's a very good clarification. I think that's a good qualification. Yeah. I think that if I had not had a teacher whose advice in like fifth or sixth grade was, after you write your paper, read it out loud, because you're going to catch a lot of like weird stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. That a lot of mistakes that you've made, or a lot of, you know, word choices or things like that. Say it out loud, and when you read it out loud, then that's your kind of your final couple edits is reading it to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think there's a difference between reading out loud what you're writing and reading out loud what you're learning. Like,
also true.
There is a difference in that, but I would argue, like, I can see somebody writing something and not reading it out loud. Mm-hmm. I don't think they should, but that makes more sense to me if it's not something that is intended to ever be read out loud or delivered or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I would still say read it out loud.
Yeah. If nothing else, your brain is able to glide over problems that your tongue might have. Mm-hmm. Like, there are phrases or consonant things that your tongue will stumble over. Some people have problems saying linoleum, and their brain
Irish wristwatch.
Yeah, their brain just goes, well, it's you know, here's the words, and it just goes, and then you try to say it out loud, and you stumble on things. You don't know you're going to do that unless you do it
for sure.
So
yeah,
like yeah, again, any theater, you are not going to have a rehearsal where everybody's sitting around in a room in a circle reading. That's not how rehearsals go.
Well, I mean, there's the original read-through.
Read-through, yes. But for when you're joke writing, you have a read-through.
Also true.
But then you have the rehearsal.
Yeah. So. I was just curious.
No. But yeah, that's a lot of what I've been doing is just...
Very cool. Thinking.
I also made and ordered some postcards finally, so that'll be fun.
Speaking of which, I have one of this show's postcards.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I already have one myself, so
leave it there.
Yeah. Why are you doing Fringe this year?
Oh, it turns out.
Maybe we should talk about that in another segment. Salsa, what have you been up to?
I've been packing.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
So you're doing Fringe this year, James. Yep. I'm sorry. Yes, please continue.
No, I'm getting ready for Scotland. I taught Academy this weekend.
Yay! Very cool. Nice.
How did it go?
It's my first time attending Academy.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
As a teacher.
Yep. Did you practice it out loud first?
Yes, of course. Obviously.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Good.
No, I fucking improvised half of my shit. No. because I wasn't performing. I was teaching. There's a difference, James. Keep up here. Anyway, it was when I joined Fest, it was as a volunteer with Como Cottage.
Yep.
I did that for 3 years, and then I auditioned and joined Fondazzi.
Mm-hmm.
And as a established stage show, Academy was not mandatory.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I just never did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then... 25 years later, they're like, you should teach Academy. And I was like, cool. I actually have no idea.
What do you do there?
I have actually no idea. Exactly. I knew that Academy was a thing.
Right.
But I was just like, I don't actually know how it's like structured. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I literally know nothing about what Academy is other than what it is. And so I was just like, okay. And they're like, you and Tim Wick are going to be teaching this session. And I was like, cool. Oh. So I messaged Tim, and I was like, hey, Tim, can you go first? So I can see what Academy looks like.
Yeah.
So when I say I half-improvised it, I'm not fucking joking.
He improvised half of it, and the other half he didn't do.
I had an outline. I was like, these are the things that I want to talk about. I want to discuss this and this and this and this and this. These are the salient points that I want to hit, that I want to make sure that I impart on these people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like the rest of it, I was just like, I don't I don't know how this goes. Am I supposed to do a bit? Am I supposed to, like, I don't know.
Do I have them do a bit?
So I was like, yeah. Okay, I kind of had a vague idea of, like, a small 5-minute routine to mm-hmm. start with and then, like, discuss what I had just done, you yeah. know? And then Tim gets on and he does a 5-minute routine. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not doing that anymore. So, yeah. No, I just got up there and started talking. And it was, as one can imagine, having genuinely not known what the fuck was going on an hour earlier, started shaky. Started a little rough. I got up on stage and I was like, okay, we're going to do this. Like, I was definitely, the heart was racing and I was rather nervous. I was just like, got into the flow of it pretty quickly though.
Good.
Nice.
Yeah. And
what was your subject?
I was talking about, building a crowd.
Oh, wow. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So one of the things.
So as you built your topic, you built your audience engagement.
Well, yeah. And it honestly, it dovetailed really nicely with what Tim had talked about, and that was picking a target.
Mm.
He does know how to do that. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And he hit you dead on. And honestly, like me listening to him, I was just like, oh yeah, this is really good stuff.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of it I already knew, but just the way he was explaining it and stuff like that, it was mm-hmm. just like, oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Like, it was food for thought, even for somebody who's been at it forever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I got up there, and I one of the... So, festival, you used to have some people that were really, really good at drawing a big crowd.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, it street performers. You had, like, Will Bradshaw, and you had, you know... Twig, and you had Gordy, and you had
mm-hmm. Butch,
and as loath as I am to mention the Ratcatcher, mm-hmm. These yeah. performers that were able to just go out in the lanes, and you'd be walking by, and there would be a massive crowd of 7,500 people just in the middle of the street. Watching one person.
I absolutely love how you did not mention Mark or Neil.
I said good.
Yeah. Why would he do
great.
That? Yeah.
Yeah. It's, all right.
Yeah.
I'm just very happy right now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I like mm-hmm. Neil.
And yeah. But I'm. Yeah. But we just don't have as many performers that do that. We have a lot of performers sure. who are very, very good at individual one-on-one mm-hmm. interactions yeah. and yeah, stuff yeah. like that. We don't really have people that are forming those huge crowds, those big circles.
Yeah.
And they kind of want to foster that.
Yeah.
You know, see if there's some people who can...
I've always called it the difference between the singular and the spectacle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a single connection, we're having a one-on-one type conversation, and if sure. it's spectacle, it's bigger, it's more mm-hmm. grandiose, and it's more crowd drawing. Yeah.
And ideally, you have a mix of both.
Yeah,
you know, you want the one-on-ones, but you need those big occasional spectacles, and we just don't have many spectacle acts anymore.
Yep,
a lot of them have moved on to stages and things like that.
That makes sense.
So mm-hmm. so they're trying to kind of nudge some rookies into being like, you can give this a try, and here's how you do it. Like, we're not just saying do it, we're saying here's how you do it,
right?
Give
right.
it a go. And so that's kind of what the focus is.
We're not throwing you into the tiger cage unprepared, we're tying a stake to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, but like I said, I kind of there was a wedding at site in the afternoon, and so they were going to do a sight walk after lunch, and that had to get moved to before.
Yes.
So they did a short sight walk before we even started, and then Tim went a full hour, and so I had, like, I was looking at my watch, like, I'm kind of flying through this a little faster than I wish I was.
Right.
But, like, I was just...
Should have just started talking over Tim.
Um,
So, this is why they asked you and not me, Salsa.
Well, yeah, just well, stand at the back of the place and go, "This is how you draw a crowd's attention."
This is actually. I'm gonna get to one point.
Oh God! Oh God! All right.
So like I said, he went for an hour. I had about 45 minutes, and I definitely had topics that I wasn't able to quite hit, mm-hmm. and I kind of mm-hmm. sped through some things that I wish I had a little more time to breathe on, but. Got through my stuff and I got done and I was like, I didn't feel fantastic about it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like I felt like I was rushed. I felt like I didn't know what was going on. I was like, now that I know what's going on, I can definitely do better next time around.
Yeah.
But this time was very much a first. And so it was just like, it had some serious rough edges that needed to get polished off. So I was like, okay. But, you know, we had a lunch that was, very much a lunch and learn, if you will. Like,
sure.
We were like, everybody eat, but also while you're eating, ask questions, you know, talk to people individually. You know, we've got a bunch of veterans here. And so, you know, I talked to a couple people and answered some questions there. And then we went all to Crown Stage and just discussed some more stuff. And they talked to the rookies more about, you know, water and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I left, and it was fine, but like I said, I didn't feel fantastic about it.
Yeah.
And then I got home, and a few hours later, I got a message from a friend of mine, Aluma, the Littlest Dragon.
Oh yeah.
And she was in the rookies, the Discord.
Oh.
And she was like, "Hey, I just saw the notes from the academy session this morning," and she was like, "I was really happy to see that a lot of the stuff you talked about we had discussed, and some of the other stuff I had learned from her mentor and stuff like that." She was like, "It felt really good to have a lot of the stuff that I know about this, you know, kind of validated and repeated in this way, shape, or form." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Oh, the notes are on Discord?" She was like, "Yeah." And I was like, can I get screenshots of those?" She was like, "Yeah." So she sent me those. And I read through my notes that somebody else had taken of what I had said.
Sure.
And I was like, "Shit, this is really good." "Fuck, this is all really good stuff. I wish I'd said all of that."
God damn it.
No, that's really funny.
No, it was genuinely like all of my points were like laid out. Whoever had taken these notes was really, really fantastic at note-taking, which is another skill unto itself.
Yeah.
Right. But like all of my points were laid out, and like what I wanted to make sure that people got was all there. I was like, "Oh, this feels really good." But my notes were 3 pages and Tim's were 2.
Ooh.
Oh. So there. Yeah. So, yeah.
Very nice.
I had a lot to say.
Oh, I'm so glad.
No, but anyway, so that's, yeah, I'm probably going to be teaching that in years to come.
Mm. Amazing.
It's something I realized a few years back was we had, you know, things go in waves. Sometimes some years are good and some years are bad. And we had some bad years a few years ago, and there was a lot of people who were having rumbles of leaving the place, and you know, they were just like, it's not like it was used to, you know, and the quality is blah blah blah. And I kind of had a come to Jesus moment of like, if the quality that we had, you know, in the good old days,
sure,
if that's what we have in our head and we want to get back to that, it's not going to magically do that itself.
Right? Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. It becomes incumbent on us to do that.
It's like people saying that new music sucks and that nothing's ever going to be better than the classics.
No. It's not like that.
No.
Oh, okay.
It is very much a somebody should do something about this. Things are not as good as they used to be, and it sucks now, and so I'm just going to walk away. And it's like, no, if you want it to go back to being good, you've got to step up. You've got to be the one.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of arguments with, speaking of Mark, because Mark was considering leaving at one point, and he was having this conversation with me, and I was like, "Yeah, no, I'm sticking around, and not only that, I'm doubling down." Mm-hmm. And I want to I want to teach these people, because if they don't know how to do contract negotiations, somebody's got to tell them how.
For sure.
And that really, like, fucking pulled Mark up. He was just like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So, so yeah, I made that decision, and here's my follow-through. So, so if the rookies really, really suck this year, blame Tim.
I will.
I was going to anyway.
Awesome. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So... yeah. Other than that, like I said, been packing, packing for
packing. Oh, is that all?
Are you going to be around at all coming up here?
I will be here this coming weekend.
This coming weekend.
This coming Monday.
Monday.
All right. So one more episode for me.
One more episode.
And then
one episode.
Then not so much for a few weeks.
Yeah. Well then.
Mm-hmm. Ooh la la.
You just don't want to be around for Fringe.
No, I'm going to be near Scotland Fringe. Like, oh, I'll
like
be
they at... have a Fringe festival out there?
Oh, how quaint.
God, I can't even. Oh, it's killing me.
There were like 27 pithy remarks that came across my mind, and I went, none of them are worth it.
No.
Honestly, none of it doesn't them. Matter, because you're going to be the one in Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm. I will... drinking Erenbrew and eating shortbread and listening to bagpipes and drinking whiskey.
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 And bring me a whole haggis.
Going to some Highland games.
Just bring them a sheep and call it deconstructed haggis.
And the Heelan coos. A DIY haggis.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I plan on eating all the haggis and black pudding. And, again, I have dropped a lot of money this week on various tickets and reservations and stuff like that. And the castle that we are having the twins' birthday dinner at, the reservation is a £20 per person deposit.
Huh.
Yeah.
Just to get in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
seem happy about this also.
Oh, I made my brother-in-law really happy.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to be when we're on Mole, we've got a day where we're going to see Iona. Mm-hmm. And then Scott and I are going to go to Staffa and see Fingal's Cave, which is a you know the Giant's Causeway. The basalt columns.
Yeah.
Fingal's Cave is an island, a small island that's just those basalt columns, and then a cave in those basalt columns.
That's fucking awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, it's like, look at pictures. Look up Fingal's Cave online. Yeah. It's fucking crazy. And the puffins. It's a puffin place and like this basalt cave. But it's about a 35-40 minute boat ride to get to.
Okay. Oh, no.
Right. Yeah. Well, and this is great for me and my brother-in-law, but not so much for our wives.
Yeah, that's true. Fair.
So we were like, okay, this is going to be the day where the ladies go do whatever the fuck they want, go, you know, shopping, go get lunch, do whatever they want to, go to visit some sheep, get their nails done. I don't
deconstruct it.
Exactly.
Nails.
Drink scotch. Yeah. I don't know. I don't care. That's on them. Scott and I are going to go get on a boat, and 3 hours later, we'll come back.
Hmm. Nice.
So I was looking at various tickets and various ferries and stuff like that, and it came down to two different services that provided these tours.
Okay.
And both of them were about the same price.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, you know, it's one, this one or this one, this one is. And then I saw the boat.
The boat.
Oh. One
I'm
of them
on a boat.
Has a caravel-style wooden boat, oak frame, larch plank, wooden boat.
Mm. The larch.
And I saw that, and I went, yes.
That's the winner.
And I messaged my brother-in-law a picture of the boat, and he lost his mind.
I believe it. way you're describing it. Yep, that Ooh. Looks exactly like something that I believe your brother-in-law would be into.
Yeah,
I'm into that.
So,
yeah.
I'll go hang out with the ladies. You kids have fun.
Yeah. If anybody wants to see this, Google the Iolaire of Iona. Iolaire. Yeah. That's the name of the boat. And it's that's what Scott and I are going to be on for a couple hours. We'll be,
nice.
Roughly 45 minutes out, and then we'll get off on the island, and we will, you know, wander around the cave and stuff, and then we'll hop back on the boat and come back to Iona. And I can't wait. It's gonna be so
good. I'm very excited for you.
I'm so fucking excited. I'm gonna have so much to tell. The what is it? The Monday of the what is it, like 8th or something like that? I highly recommend neither of you have anything to talk about.
Okay. that's fair.
The 10th. Yes, the 10th. Monday the 10th. Don't have anything to talk about, because I will have plenty.
Oh, no.
I think that might be one of the...
Oh, will it?
That's in the middle of Fringe.
Oh,
so.
Shit, we might have a really long episode.
Yeah, that might be that
we might
the
not.
Two of
Listeners,
you.
Listeners, we might have content.
Or not me.
Or not
I'm
an
not
episode,
sure.
Because everybody's going to be performing.
Things That's might possible. Get spotty over the course of the next few weeks
we
here,
may
friends.
Or may not have episodes for the next month.
our apologies for having lives.
Yes. Sorry for the convenience.
Yes.
And when we get back, we will have a three-hour episode.
A three-hour episode.
Yes. I'm going to be on a three-hour tour.
You will. Yeah.
You will. Yes. A literal... Oh, God.
I'm fucking thrilled for you.
Oh, I'm so glad the
and
ladies are staying
the
behind.
And Ginger.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody...
And
if a rich
rest.
Couple get on, I'm going to...
Oh, wait. What is it?
Yeah, it was...
Hold on. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wreck like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Was blind,
but now I see. Sorry. I'm good. What? You're going to Scotland. They do Amazing Grace right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Douglas Adams says that the term sheppy, noun, is a measure of distance equal to approximately 7/8 of a mile, defined as the closest distance at which sheep remain picturesque.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, he just stole your bit, didn't he?
No, not at all.
No, not
at all. I don't think sheep look good at any distance, because fuck them things.
I meant the random
don't.
Trivia thing, but whatever. Don't fuck the sheep.
Don't.
Are we in Scotland?
The sheep.
When in Rome.
You're
fuck
not
the
in
Roman
Rome.
Sheep.
Oh my God.
What did you do while you were in Greece?
I don't know, but it was real slippery.
He got greased up.
Yeah. McDonald's French fries. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
All right. Hey, should we take a quick break?
I feel like we've been taking a break most of this episode.
The answer is yes.
Okay. Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
That's rule number two.
The biblical quote is do not cast pearls before swine.
and we're back. I'm salsa.
Fucking fucked. Yes.
That must be the King James version.
I mean, well, yes, yeah. Most specifically, yeah. So that's James, and I'm Jenna.
A James is a king. It'll never work.
It kind of didn't.
It really didn't. No, you're not wrong.
Yep.
Yeah, everybody in my grade school class, they looked up their names. They all had cool names that meant cool things. I looked mine up, and it was The Usurper. And I was like, fuck. Well.
Do you know what my last name means, though? My last name?
Not old?
No, okay, my maiden name. Fuck, I forgot for a second. I did. Nope.
Okay.
No, my maiden name.
Like you were a maiden.
My birth name. means renter.
Huh.
Uh-huh.
Well,
rather be a fucking usurper.
I just thought it meant don't see you in the theater.
What?
Because you're more of a renter.
I don't get it.
I have no idea.
Okay. Yeah, oh, all
right. I've told you what my name means, right?
It means a chunky sauce.
No, so Brian is strong or kingly.
Oh, how very nice for you.
My maiden name meant sour.
This is correct.
Yeah. Fuck!
Mm-hmm.
So I was a strong sour.
A rose by any other last name.
Mm-hmm.
Still yep. Puckers you from head to toe.
You still get the horns.
good.
Yes. Yeah. What were we talking about, Jenna?
We were talking about Fringe, actually. Right.
We were. We did.
Because, we've got a lot. Fringe is coming up in about 3.5 weeks.
Yeah, in Edinburgh. It's going to be great.
I can't wait.
I am legitimately a little fucking jealous.
Yeah.
Edinburgh Fringe is where Taskmaster came from.
We are actually going to be there the week before Fringe. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be plenty of handbills and probably some preview stuff going on.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I'm sure you'll get some previews.
Yeah.
Are they going to have subtitles for the Scottish?
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I'm not there yet.
Oh, okay. Let me know.
Also, what? Hmm? So, anyway. But Minnesota's Fringe is also around the corner.
Lurking with a
lurking.
Bat.
The little fringe kitty is just like...
with a bat.
Actually.
Yeah.
I don't trust that thing. Are you kidding me? Have you seen the scrawny little arms on that? It looks like it's the little fringe kitty logo, for listeners who don't know. It kind of looks like it's the same shape as the kid from Adventure Time.
Oh, shit, it is.
With the big bump and the scrawny little arms, but it's also got kitty ears. Like, I don't trust it.
It's tough but fair.
Yeah. But hey, so the Minnesota Fringe is right around the corner.
It is.
I'm involved in two shows, and by involved in, I mean producing, because I'm an idiot. Mm.
Is that all?
Well... I mean, it's my first year producing... No, that's not even entirely true. I was going to say it's my first year producing two shows.
Know you.
But no, I think actually 2019, I basically produced two shows because I produced the Fearless one and I produced, you know, shit.
Yep.
Yep. Anyway, it's my first time independently producing with the Minnesota Fringe.
Just keep adding adjectives. Eventually we'll get there.
Yep. Yeah. I am the best person in this room that identifies as female at this type of thing.
You are the best person in this room, period, at this type of thing.
I mean, yeah, we don't need a lot more adjectives than that.
No, I don't get periods anymore, Salsa.
Ha!
Just semicolons. She doesn't even get a full colon anymore.
Anyway, Minnesota Fringe. So I'm doing something incredibly stupid this year.
Oh.
As opposed to...
Even more dumb, Salsa. Okay. Like, I've done some dumb fucking things for Fringe in the past.
Yes.
This is the dumbest.
Okay.
So here's here's what's happening.
Yes.
Myself and a few of my friends got together, mm-hmm. and we were like, we would like to independently produce for various reasons. Mm-hmm. We should all take over a venue and independently produce together. Mm-hmm. But and like a long time, I had this idea a few years back to take over a venue and produce a bunch of. Like, in a, have a bunch of independent producers produce on a theme.
Yeah.
Something of social need or humanitarian or what have you.
Lovely.
So we decided that mental health would be a great theme.
Yeah.
And we've got five different shows going up at the Phoenix Theater for
Holy
Fringe.
Shit.
All of them based on mental health.
Cool.
And we're going to have some mental health information. Available mm-hmm. in the venue, and we're looking at maybe a couple of mental health-based activities.
Nice.
Things like that. We're going to make a little mental health awareness festival inside the larger Fringe Festival,
yeah.
basically.
Yeah.
So there's going to be five shows total, and I'm producing two of them because it's not enough for me to be the managing producer for... all of these IPs
the
at the
producer.
Venue.
Right, right.
Nope, I'm not the executive producer.
Oh, okay.
I'm the managing producer
okay.
or the okay. operational producer.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
I'm the one that does the things.
Yeah.
So here I am, not only producing my own shows, but coordinating tech and box office mm-hmm. needs mm-hmm. and like venue needs in between the IPs and myself. And the venue, and putting together the schedule, and all of this other stuff. That's what I'm doing for Fringe this year. Yeah. And
no longer satisfied with simply appearing in seven shows.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now I have to have...
Yeah, but what have you done for me lately?
Right. Do you know how long ago that was? God, I need to do more stupid things. Come on.
That's fair.
Yeah. So I am producing two shows this year for the Minnesota Fringe, both of them as a part of it. It's called the Social Butterfly Project, by the way, this whole independent production
yeah.
as a group. Social Butterfly Project.
Mm-hmm.
The five shows at the Phoenix Theater. Under this, I'm producing
Underwear.
Two of these shows under this.
Oh, okay.
She just said that.
Rude. Don't yeah. talk about my underwear. Anyway, where was I? God damn it, James.
The Social Butterfly Project?
Nope, I was going to talk about me some more.
Ah, okay.
So I'm producing two shows. One of them is a one-woman show called The Label Maker, which is the one with the script that I keep tinkering with because I can.
Hmm.
It is about therapy and diagnoses and people that are undiagnosed or misdiagnosed and how we have tendencies to just kind of throw diagnoses at people.
Jesus,
yeah. And all of that. But it's all coming from personal experience. Also, I talk about my abusive mom. So, it's going to be a hoot and a holler.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be a lot.
It's going to be a scream. Actually, several screams.
I'm going to say, I do have... somebody is doing a couple of audio clips for me for this, and I sent them just two pages of the script last night so that they could, you know, have their lines and record them for me. And she's like, got it, sounds great. Also, I am so sorry you went through that. I'm just like, thank you.
This is therapy for me.
Me too. No, it's not therapy, though. This is me expressing it is a way of me reaching out to others that might need to hear it, really.
Yeah.
It's not therapy because I've been through therapy. Lots and lots of therapy. Let me do a Fringe show in which I talk about all of the therapy I've done.
Yes.
It's called The Label Maker. So that is one of the shows. That's the one that I'm tinkering with. And mm-hmm. It's going to be incredible. Boy, howdy, am I excited to see it. But then the other show that I'm doing is It's a storyteller collaborative. So I am pulling together a bunch of different storytellers, about five a night. I've got 11 total, but like we've got different storytellers going up each night.
Sure.
And they're going to tell humorous stories about mental health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice.
I'm so excited for this. It's called Stories from the Trauma Dump.
Oh, good.
I'm so happy with that title. It is, though.
It is, actually.
But, like, I fucking love that title.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, the people that I have scheduled to show up are Allison Broering, of co-founder of Strike, Word Sprout, helped run like Encyclopedia Show and a bunch of slams.
Nice.
Ariel Pinkerton, who has been doing fringe shows since forever.
Mm-hmm.
This guy named Duck Washington, never heard of him. Huamua, who does storytelling. Jack Cesarius does storytelling and improv. And a newer face to the scene, but pretty good. Mahmoud Hakima. Never heard of him. Nissen Nordland.
Very cool.
Of artistic director, Twin Cities Horror Festival fame, also Special When Lit. She's also doing a show with Sam Landman called Bury the Leads. It's an improv show. It's great. High recommend. Shannon Custer.
Amazing.
Yeah, fringe darling Shannon Custer. Mm-hmm. No big deal.
Just everything darling Shannon Custer, yeah.
Right. Ryan Velcor.
Very cool, yeah.
And we're going to have a little mini Monster Science with Reverend Matt Kesson. Jesus fucking
that
Christ.
Is that all? Packed who's who.
I know, right? Like, the thing is like every person I talked to was either like, yes, I'm fucking in, or Jesus Christ, I wish I could be in. Yeah. And I talked to the fucking cream of the crop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody that I talked to is just top-notch, and so many of them wanted to be a part of it.
I will also say, it is fringe. Everybody's like, more stage time. Yes,
more
please.
More stage time, yeah. Well, and you get to, it does help with, like, cross-promotion and things like that.
Absolutely,
but, no, they're like, one person I did not expect to say yes was like, this is an incredible idea and I need to be a part of it. And I'm just like, okay, they want to be part of my show. Like, it's incredible to me. So,
yeah,
That's
wonderful.
It is really exciting and humbling to have people that you really respect be like, I want to be a part of the thing that you're making.
Absolutely.
It's just like, oh okay.
Yeah. Oh my God. Just like every single fucking person is like, oh my God, that's so cool. And then there were other people that were like, why didn't you ask me? And I'm like, I didn't think you would want to be a part of it. Oh no, I could have had you too. Shit. I don't have room for all these awesome people. It was
also very literal that.
Embarrassment of riches.
Yeah.
Like, boy howdy.
Also, because you're in three other shows, that's why.
There's that.
Mahmoud is in three other shows, so I can't even use that as an. To be fair, at the time that I asked him, he was only in two other shows.
Oh, well, there you go. So,
right.
But now things are different.
You didn't know.
Oh.
But yeah, so I am very excited for these. There's three other shows that are going to be at the Phoenix. One of them is called The Lousiest Werewolf, Mania in the Moonlight, and it is about manic depressive episodes being produced by Rob Ward.
Fantastic.
One of them is called When I Was Afraid, and I feel so bad. It's David Hellstrom, who is a local storyteller, and I feel bad. He was originally going to be doing this with a couple other people, and they both had to drop, so now it's a storytelling show.
I mean, yeah, all right.
But, like, the entire thing...
He had to pivot, as they say in the business.
Well, the whole show is about dealing with fear and anxiety, and he's like, well, now I just have more material. And I'm like, that's fair. Go for it.
So, fear and anxiety. Producing this show.
Right? Exactly. So, but he's absolutely fantastic, and I'm excited to see what he comes up with. And then there's one more show.
Oh.
It's weird because, like, as an independent producer, you can produce a show that's longer than the 60 minutes. It just needs to start at the time. And I heard this show is like 120 minutes. Like, it's a full feature-length show at the Fringe. Yep. God, I wish I knew more about it, James.
Oh. Me too.
God damn it, James. Talk about your fucking show.
You're doing two shows?
I'm doing two shows.
You've got The Label Maker and...
Stories from the Trauma Dome. Yep.
But you're also producing the kind of event thing.
Correct.
So you're kind of three-peating it.
I kind of am. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's not incorrect.
Gross.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So,
anyway.
Angela Fox.
Oh, I like her.
Yeah.
Another She's fantastic
celebrity darling.
I know, right?
Cities. Yes. Multi-talented.
The Phoenix is going to be just a really...
Wildly talented person.
Oh, and James will be there, too.
Yeah. Correct. That is my correct billing, is...
And James will be there, too.
Yeah. The afterthought.
He's the and Peggy.
And let's bring Pearl...
I would not so much because the actress who's Aunt Peggy turns into the vamp in the second half.
It's true.
I mean, that's fair.
And so,
James, can you try not to seduce anybody at the Phoenix?
Or do.
I feel like if I successfully seduce anybody ever, it's by accident.
James's dance card is already pretty fucking full.
Yeah. Let's. I occasionally roll 20s, and
do you or do they roll ones?
Two things can be true.
Yes.
In fact, it probably has to be both. So,
what are you doing for the Fringe, James?
Yeah. So
talk about Angela Fox.
Yeah, Angela Fox is doing a show called Fighting Unicorns, which is loosely a narrative. Stage play about a girl who is rediscovering a story that she has lost or forgotten with the help of her fantastical sidekicks and other characters. It's a little bit dark. It's I think still very family friendly, but it is rooted a lot in her own story, but it's translated into something that is more easily digestible. There's comedy, there's heart, there's...
you could read the card that's in front of you.
Oh, okay. A girl and her unicorn sidekick journey through a fantastical world of puppets and interactive scenery to find her lost story, a powerful show about healing and moving forward. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Sure.
You look like you were searching for it for a little bit there, and that's you nailed it. You did get it.
Okay.
But,
I'm
so this just this kind of strikes me as like a Bing Bong from Inside situation.
A little bit.
Okay.
It's weirdly kind of at the apex of a couple of different things, including I want to say like Labyrinth.
Okay.
And Beauty and the Beast. Because the world is alive around her.
Gotcha. Okay.
But it is very much her journey through a place that is strange and occasionally dangerous. Very labyrinth-like.
I don't think it's any kind of a spoiler to say that it does deal with trauma.
Not at all. That is not.
It felt like you were dancing around it, and I'm like, no. I think that's actually important to say. It's not said in that either.
I mean, it's a show about healing and moving forward. But
it's a mental health like show. So
yes,
yep.
So it does deal with mental health as monsters or as obstacles or as
yeah
you know that kind
of physical manifestation.
Yeah. And every time we watch the lead actors, because I'm part of the world. I am, you know, walls and doors and
your tree number four
things. I'm a forest of trees.
Oh, okay.
But the all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Like very actually, I think I am tree number four. But the the thing is, it's wow. Nope, that thought's gone. That's okay.
Okay.
So, but
sorry.
It happens. But yeah, I'm thrilled to be in it. Every time we watch the lead actors go through the story, I am moved. Even without all of the stagecraft being completed, even without the lighting, even without the sound, they are incredible actors.
Speaking of, the puppets in this show.
Oh, yes. The puppets are done by Phantom Chorus, which their puppet shows are...
exceptional.
Fucking exquisite.
Yeah. In case you hadn't heard us talking about them before.
Yeah.
For dealing with dragons.
The Alchemist Bargain.
Yeah.
A bunch of other stuff. They
so
are.
So many great
et cetera,
things.
Et cetera,
yes.
Fantabulous work. They do fantabulous work. And I'm excited. I get to play with puppets, too.
Yay!
I get to do puppeting, which I have always wanted to. So, I'm excited about it. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And we'll get to see each other's shows and braid each other's hair. It's going to be such a nice time.
Yeah. Actually, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's, I guess there are other shows happening at Fringe too, but whatever.
Lots and lots,
That's what's happening as a part of the Social Butterfly Project, so.
Yeah.
And honestly, I am honored that all of these people want to be involved both in my shows and in the project itself at large. Mm-hmm. So many people have gone into, like, pulling all of this together, and I'm just excited to see my creation come to life. So anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Salsa.
Salsa.
I'm not in French.
Oh. Do you have any trivia for us or anything?
I do.
Ooh. What?
As a matter
no way.
Of fact.
Trivia.
I know, it's crazy. So this might not surprise some people. Some people are aware of this fact, but I still think it's a fun one.
Okay.
I enjoy this one a great deal. From 1912 to 1948.
Okay.
The Olympics included competitions in painting, sculpture, music, and literature.
Hmm. Huh.
Art
I think I did
was
know that.
An Olympic sport.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pierre Coubertin, the founder of the modern Olympics, envisioned the Olympics to not only be perfection of the body, but also perfection of the mind.
Aww.
Wow.
And therefore he wanted the arts to also be included in the Olympics. Not just physical prowess, but also creativity and artistic expression. And so, yeah, for a few decades, you could get an Olympic medal in sculpting.
That's kind of fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Or literature. Jenna's story about trauma dumping could have had an Olympic medal at one time.
Mm. I mean, it probably should anyway.
It's going to regardless.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll bring it back just for me, I'm sure.
I could see that. Yeah.
But I mean...
And then next year, she's president of the committee.
Yes.
I just wanted to be on the committee, but then they made me president.
Yeah, look, it's an honor just to be nominated president.
But I mean, could you imagine, and next on the Moth Radio Hour, Olympic Award winning, literaturists.
That would be so good.
Honestly,
wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
I mean, the Moth is one of the, there's, there are a couple of storytelling things that I consider to be like, the Olympics or the Kentucky Derby or the whatever of storytelling.
What was the one that was at the Fitz?
Something.
I will say, like, the Moth is really good, and I don't want to negate the Moth and what happens through them, because there's a lot of great stuff. But they do not allow people to read their stories.
Oh, interesting.
It must be a memorized piece. So you will never see me at the MOF because of my disability, wherein I cannot memorize.
Yeah.
So they need a Special Olympics for the Moth Radio Hour.
I'm not sure how
they need the
about
Butterfly
that.
Radio Hour.
There we go.
Or a Social Butterfly Project.
A Social Butterfly Project?
The Social Butterfly Radio Hour.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh.
All right.
Well, there's your next year's show.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, we know people in radio.
It's true. So anyway.
Anyway.
Is that what happened if I can't say it? Oh my god. I can't do it.
Huh.
I can't.
Abort! Abort!
Careful. Nope. TV did kill the radio star.
Okay, you know what? Moving on.
Yeah. All right. moving on to, does anybody have any shout-outs?
Oh, my goodness. I want to give a shout-out to my daughter.
Aw.
She turned 26. Good job.
Jesus.
Good job.
In this economy?
That's...
Fucking A, man.
Yeah.
Way to just stay alive.
Honestly, that's strong work.
Right. No, I am consistently proud of her.
Yeah,
She's wonderful and, like, 1,000 times cooler than me. And I'm pretty fucking cool, so she's real good. Shout out and a happy birthday to my daughter.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Speaking of daughters,
with birthdays?
My daughter is now a teenager.
That's weird.
Shout out to her.
Congratulations.
Good luck with that.
Yep.
I'm actually very proud of your daughter, too.
I mean, proud of my daughter, too.
Yeah.
But I definitely gave her a hug the day before her birthday and said, this is the last day before that I don't have a teenage daughter.
Right.
This is it. This is the last one.
Yep.
The guillotine falls from the sky.
I need to go... Apparently, I need to go buy a convertible and get a mistress or something, because that's where I'm at in my life, apparently.
Huh. Yeah, good luck with that mistress thing.
Yeah, I don't have time for that.
You barely have time for a convertible.
Fuck. It's not even that it's funny. It's the speed.
Yeah.
It was just you were on that. All right.
Also, I don't like convertibles.
Why are you getting a convertible?
Because
then?
I have to. If it's like my midlife crisis,
you just want something that's going to take its top down. That's.
You could ask your wife nicely.
I don't even need to. She gets home and is like, "Fuck this shit."
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. So why do you need the convertible?
Because that's what you do when you're midlife, right?
Yes, because it's you always do what is expected of her.
She cut me.
As expected.
Aww.
And it's totally because of that, and not because I can't afford one. So, daughter, yes, go.
Shout out to my stepmother-in-law. Jax's stepmom. Came over to help us organize post-convention, pre-fest, to work with us to organize the front room.
Oh,
and,
sure.
If we're going to take another stab at it to get the basement and craft area organized. The ultimate goal is to have a craft and art studio area for Jax. And it's going to be a lot of work, and she's fantastic and extremely helpful.
Nice.
And we really appreciated having her over to do that. So, shout out.
Nice.
I'm going to just throw a bonus shout out to the people who are going to watch my cats while we're in Scotland.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Also very good.
Nice.
Does anybody have, probably not, but does anybody have anything to plug?
Yeah, I got nothing coming up over the next couple months.
Huh.
Yeah, French festival. I'll post. I'll get some links over to you for posting. Mm-hmm. But definitely come see my one woman story. It has been a lot. Mm-hmm. Come see stories from the drama dump because it's going to be delightful.
Mm-hmm.
See everything at the Phoenix Theater, including
Fighting Unicorns.
There you go. Yeah. Way to be on top of that.
Look. Sometimes I don't roll 20s. Honestly.
Sometimes?
Honestly, most of the time. Like, you'd think it would be, on average, 1/20th of the time.
Right, but it's exactly. A
herd of thundering turtles.
Fucking isn't. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
There is an upcoming Ville show. Go. Enjoy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye-bye. I love you. Bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this show. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, go to aonpodcast.com, click on Submit a Fast Five, and fill out the form. If you would like to if you've got a really awesome fact that you would love the whole world to know, message me directly, and I will let everybody know.
Nice.
On this show. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.